love to read my Bible, but you know, sometimes that's not the important thing is you to read your Bible. The important thing for the Bible to read you. And like I say, I like to read the Bible, but you know, sometimes I really don't like the Bible to read me. Now, I like to tell you what to do, and I like to tell you how to do, and I like to tell you how to live, but then you start somebody telling me, it's altogether different, isn't it? And we all of us have that problem, and it's easy for us to see that problem in another person's life, but look at ours. Well, we're going to look at a man, and I was thinking about this, how God deals with guilt. And he's got a spiritual, I don't know how many of you have been to the doctor and had one of those MRIs, you know, from your top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Most everybody had one of the MRIs. Well, that usually tells the doctor just about everything about you, inside and outside, top of your head, the bottom of your feet, about everything. Well, you know, God has invented one of those things a long time ago. It's a spiritual MRI. And he runs you through that thing. In fact, here it is. He has run David through that spiritual MRI, and he's put his whole life up on the screen. Now, would there be a person in here that would be brave enough tonight that God's going to run a spiritual MRI on you, what you've done yesterday, last week, last month, last year, and put it on the board for everybody to see how you behave and act and done and where you did and everything else? But would anybody stand up and say, yeah, I'd be glad to do that? No one? Not me. But God's got that MRI. And although we don't know about each other, God knows about us. And here we find a man that God knew all about, like he knows all about us. And this is old David. We won't cover all these verses. We'll try to get to as many of them as we can. I never do have enough of time, but we're going to try. David wrote this psalm, several psalms in the book. Psalm 51, he wrote that and he confessed, you know, whenever he sinned with Bathsheba and also had her husband Uriah killed. Well, that's for a whole year or better that he has silent about it, tried to cover it up in his castle. Didn't tell anybody, just one people knew it anyway. But we find out, you see, the results of it was suffering, and also he got physically sick. Did you know sometimes our sin will cause physical sickness to us? Now, I want you to understand all of our physical sickness is not because of sin. But sometimes our physical sickness is because of sin. And this was David's case. And also, he was spiritually sick also, and he suffered that away. And then he wrote Psalm 32. And he was confessing what he had done and asked forgiveness. And then Psalm 38, if you read them three psalms, and in Psalm 38, it tells the condition of his suffering physically and suffering spiritually and how sick he was in the time that he covered his sin, going through the process of not confessing it. So we have his whole life. Especially the area and the time that he had sinned. 51, he confessed it, forgiveness. And then he says, well, if you'll forgive me in 51, Lord, if you'll forgive me, he says, I'll teach transgressors God's way. So here's what he's doing in chapter 38 of Psalms. He's teaching transgressors. Now, I don't know about you, we're saved. I hope we all saved here tonight. But you know, whenever you got saved, God didn't fix you where you couldn't sin anymore. Did y'all know that? He just fixed you. When you sin, you lose your joy. You just lose your joy and your testimony, and you don't feel good about yourself. Well, David said, remember now, and he's kind of remembering the condition that he was in. After he had sinned and went over for a year, covered his sin and he concealed it, it brought forth a sickness, spiritual sickness and a physical sickness. So Psalm 38 is telling us the condition that he's in. And he tells us condition that you'll be in and I'll be in and any other saint of God will be in whenever they have sin in their life and they do not confess their sin. We must confess our sin. If we try to cover our sin and don't confess our sin, we're in trouble. And this is what's going to happen to you and happen to me and happen to any saint of God if we allow known sin in our life and we do not confess it and get right with God. There's a lot of people, backsliders today, this is what they're going through, whether they realize it or not. David now, he has took this MRI of God and it's flashed on the board, and God began to point out the things in David's life just like he will you and I. He does this with the scriptures here. Romans 5 and 20 says, where sin abound, grace did much more abound. And we can all say, thank you, Lord, for that. Because there's not a person in here that does not need grace. There's not a person that don't need forgiveness. David was a backslider, disobedient. And it's to all of us to unresolved guilt, unconfessed sin. You really don't have the realistic glory that you God intended for you to have. In these verses, we'll find out what to do with our guilt whenever we do sin. What is guilt? If I was asked you, what is guilt? You know, most people say, well, you feel sorry when you've done something wrong. Well, that's not altogether true, not what the Bible talks about. That's really not guilt, just feeling sorry when you've done something wrong. That's just a guilt feeling. Understand me, that's just a guilt feeling. We're going to have to deal with the guilt, not just the feeling. So what is guilt? Well, you know, whenever you put your hand on a hot stove and you burn your hand, there's pain comes. Well, pain is not the burn. That skin that's turned loose from your hand is the burn. The pain just tells you there's burning there. Well, that's just the feeling. It tells you there's something wrong. The guilt feeling is not just the feeling. It is the guilt. Don't worry about the feeling, just the guilt. And we got to do something about the feeling, not just the guilt. Now, guilt is the condition of the punishment of that God is conditioned for that wrath he's going to talk to that person about. You believe God takes people to the woodshed? You believe God corrects people? Well, he did David. Took him a while. You know, no one knows how long it takes. You know, people does things and they might get by for a long time, but it says the Lord is long-suffering. It's up to him. It's not up to us. It's up to him. It's that wrath. There are a lot of psychologists today and also a lot of educators, and they can deal with feeling, but they can't deal with guilt. They can't help you get over that guilt. This old television man, old Dr. Field on television, he's got an answer no matter what problem people have, but they're always dealing with the feeling. But they're not getting down to the real root of their feeling, I can tell you that. Because, you know, it takes the Word of God. All they can do and all he can do is teach you not to touch the hot stove. God has said, if you do, it'll burn your hand. That's as far as Dr. Phil can go. The Word of God goes a little bit further. Only God's grace can remove that guilt. Only God's grace. And you know, every one of us this hour have done things we was guilty of. Every one of us. Since we've been saved, have done something that we was guilty of. And how did you get rid of that guilt? Only God, when you ask forgiveness, you ain't got nothing that God wants to remove that guilt. Only God. See, the generation we have in the United States have been taught to deal with a guilt feeling, but not the guilt. And that's a problem today. They are haunted by the ghost of guilt because they've never been taught to deal with it. And a lot of Christian people today also have not been taught to deal with the guilt. And this psalm deals with that. And many times in our Christian arena, in our churches, in this country, many say we have the idea of we need renewal. That's your problem. You need renewal. You need to freshen up. That's not the word renewal or freshen up. The word is repentance. Now, you're not going to hear too much about that from pulpits across America, that word repentance. And I tell you, if everybody repent, including me in this church and across our nation, if this nation repent, we would have a different nation overnight. Repent. Psalm 38 is a prayer of guilt. A man, his name is David. Now, David was a great sinner, but he was a great saint, and also he was a great repenter. Great repenter. The title now, How God's Grace Deals with Our Guilt. First of all, we find out it's a tragedy of sin in the life of a saint. David was one of them. And the tragedy of sin in the life of a saint. That is a tragedy, but it does happen, don't it? I'd like to give you MRI tonight. Wonder how you'd pass. Wonder if you'd be guilty tonight. Wonder if you want your MRI put on the board tonight. Just last week, not last month or last year or 10 years, just last week. How about just yesterday? You see, it's a tragedy of sin in the life of saints. You know, some people think, well, you know, I could just do it myself. I could just free myself. I can do it myself. Now, like I said, whenever you're saved, it do not mean you don't sin anymore. It don't mean you don't sin anymore. But we can confess our sin. It teaches that. And in these verses, we teach what it will do if we do not confess it. We live in a backslidden condition. We have disobeyed God. We know that we have sin in our life, no matter what kind it is. Here's what it will do. Well, to start with, we know it displeases God. Do y'all believe that? Sin in the life of a saint, to start with, it displeases God. You displease God, you're out of fellowship with God. Now, we're going to read verses 1 or 2, and we get as far as we can tonight. I'd like to have about 2 hours on this. Verse 1, it says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thy anger sticketh fast in me, and thy hands presses me sore. So we find out some words here. If it displeases God, there's some words you need to understand. I see about three here we need to look at. The words of wrath, he says, rebuke. O Lord, rebuke me not. One way that we know we're saved, that Dr. Jesus is going to rebuke us. Now, most of us have been to the doctor a number of times. We're our age here, we've been to the doctor a number of times. A lot of times you really don't know exactly what's wrong with you. I just may be hurting here, and you get there, and the doctor say, what's wrong? Well, I this, that, and the other, and then he starts mashing on you, pushing on you. And Rex says, oh, that's it right there. He puts his finger right on that sore spot, don't he? That's it. Well, did you know the Holy Spirit of God does the same thing in your spiritual life? He puts his finger right on that sin, right on that sore spot, and you know exactly what it is. He pats it and he puts it right there. So see, we don't have to guess about our sin. If every one of us in here this hour was going to come up and confess our sin, did you know every one of us know exactly what it is? I'm going to tell you, you wouldn't have to get down on your knees and say, Lord, whatever it is, I want you to forgive me for it. You know what it is. You don't have to guess about it. You know exactly what it is. And it might be more than one. Because it displeases God, and the word of wrath comes, and rebuke comes on his way by the Holy Spirit of God, by the word of God. And then it says, you know, the hours of conviction comes. It says, verse 2, the hour sticketh fast in me. God will shoot you with an hour of conviction. You keep doing things against God's will, get out of God's will, tragedy of sin in your life, you displease God. You know what God will do? He'll rebuke you, and then he'll shoot you with an hour of conviction. He will. Thank the Lord that he does that. I want to thank God right now for conviction. Amen. Because we would probably, some of us might be in prison. Might be in jail. There ain't no telling what we'd be if it weren't for the hour of conviction that he sends our way. That keeps us back, putting us where we ought to be. All the MRI that God gives us, I just want to thank him and thank him and thank him. And then third thing, the hands of pressure in verse 2. Thy hand presses me sore. Sore. People think whenever they're saved and sometimes that they fall and they fail and, you know, and they fall down, they think that God casts them away. Once you're saved and you know, and you don't live like you ought to, and you fall away from God, they think God cast you away. Hey, you ain't worth this. God don't cast you away. You know what he does? Listen to me. He tightens the grip. You ain't going to get by with it. He tightens that grip. You're trying to kick out and do what you want to, and you displease God, and he done warned you a word of wrath, and he shot our conviction to your soul, and then his old hands of pressure. My dad had big old hands. My hand, you know, looked like a baby hand upside my daddy. You know what? He could grab a hold of me when I was a kid. I'd run by, and I knew what it's like. It's in a vice. There ain't no way I can get loose from that man. I mean, he had a hand, his thumb was as big as both of mine put together. He had giant hands. I'll tell you what, he grasped a hold of you. He could hold on to anything. He grasped a hold. Well, I tell you what, God's got bigger hands than he did. I'll tell you what, you and his hands. And I'm going to tell you what he'll do. He'll tighten down on you. And I'm going to tell you, I can see the evidence in some people's lives right now where God's tightening down on them. Well, that's good because, you see, that one thing it shows that they're saved. God is tightening down on them. He grips them. He squeezes them. So that's David whenever, you know, he has broken a relationship with God. He's broken relationship with God. Fellowship with God. God's not talking to him. He's got his ears closed. Now, it's a mark when you're saved and you break fellowship, have no time for God, no time for God, things, the things of God, you know. 1, 2, 3 things happens. I just got through reading to you. You better get saved. That's all I got to tell you. Because if you're not saved, you need to be saved. You're just a church member. If God had done these things to you. David found out. The second thing, it depressed his strength. Number B, it depressed his strength as a man. And you see there's several things it done to him there. 6 things. What sin done to him? It depressed his strength. Sin wearied him. Verse 3 it says, there is no soundness in my flesh because of thy anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For a whole year David went with that sin. For a whole year. And you know what that sin, it just weighted him down and wearied him down. It says, no rest for the wicked. When he confessed and resolved that guilt, you know, it helped him. And then he just sapped his strength. See, out of your life, if you're living this way and someone's living this way, it just saps the strength out of their life. And that song of the thing, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Well, you won't have no joy. So you won't have any strength. It's been zapped. Wearies him. And you see, it weights him down there in verse 4. For my iniquities are gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. See, it weights him down. Now, you know whenever you first got saved? Man, I remember when I first got saved, it seemed like there was a ton lifted off my shoulders. I said, yes, Lord, I will. See, I'm going to tell you, there was a weight of guilt. There was a weight of shame. There was a weight of everything. Well, even now, whenever we sin as a child of God, that old heavy weight starts coming back. It starts coming back. And it starts coming back. And it says it weights him down, our burdens. And he says, you know, my burdens is just too heavy for me. Oh, people, listen, we could understand that our burdens is too heavy for us. Bring them to the Lord. Bring them to the Lord. Third thing, then it says, you know what? Sin wounded him. Verse 5 it says, my wound sticketh and are corrupted because of my foolishness. There's the era of conviction again. Remember when those old westerns that I watch all the time, and on cowboys and Indians, they shoot somebody with an arrow, and boy, they say, boy, that arrow's got to come out. Man, you know what? They just put a piece of wood in their mouth, they just bite that piece of wood, and they just jerk that little arrow out, you know, and he just gets up and walks off. Yeah, tough people back in those days, weren't they? But they said that arrow's got to come out. Why? They said, man, if it don't come out, it's going to be, they're going to set up an infection. And here's an arrow been stuck in David. It's been stuck in David. And if the arrow didn't come out back in the old days, you know what? Set up a gangrene. And then they'll lose maybe arm or leg or their life. You know what? Oh, David had, he had a spiritual gangrene setting up in his life. And you know, there's a lot of children of God that's saved, that's got spiritual gangrene, and I'm going to tell you what it's going to do. It's cutting them off. And I'm going to tell you, it will destroy them. That's very something. It's very dangerous. No time for God. No time for God's people. Spiritual gangrene. It stinks. It cuts off. This kind of wound. There's two kinds of wound. One, sorrow wound. And this word is a sorrow wound. That's a clean wound. If you leave a sorrow wound alone, you know, after a while it will mend. But a dirty wound is a guilt wound. If you don't tend to it and clean it out, I'm going to tell you, it won't never heal until it is clean. Being sorry is a clean wound, but guilt is a dirty wound. And then he says there the fourth thing, sin worries him. Verse 6, I am troubled. Oh, there's a lot of people troubled today. Do you know it? A lot of times called sin in their life. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. See, if saved, you cannot sin and enjoy it. The most miserable person that you know of is not a saved person. I mean, it's not a lost person. It is a saved person, because a lost person, the Bible says, they're a pleasure in sin for a season. But the miserable person today, I'm going to tell you, is a saved person out of the fellowship and the will of God. Even they're unhappy, they're miserable, and their family miserable, and their children miserable. They're out of fellowship too. A miserable, miserable family is that mother and father, if they know Jesus. And they're out of fellowship with God, out of fellowship with God's house. That is a miserable, miserable, miserable person if they're saved. And they got a miserable family. And all these things I wrote down here and then some contains to them. And it's going to get worse for them because the worry and the weight of sin. Sin wastes him, it says there in verse 7. For my loins are filled with loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. It wasted him. Can you just imagine some of you get old enough, you get arthritis all over, you get down, you can't get up, you get up, you can't get down. Nothing don't really work anymore. Arthritis and bursitis and all them arthritis boys. You know what I mean? Well, you know what happened? Inflammation sets in of those joints and those muscles. And then pain continuously. Well, I tell you, old David here, or that sin that says wasted him, he had that old inflammation that set in his spiritual life. And I'm going to tell you, there was pain all the time. And that person out there that just will not heed to God and God thing, God word, God people, God house, is, I'm going to tell you what, has had this inflammation of the spiritual side of them. They are in pain continuously. And then it said, 6, it weakened him in verse 8. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared my reasons of the disquietness of my heart. David, mighty warrior. I mean, he was a mighty warrior. He's broken in his body, in his soul, and his spirit, and he's crying in pain. As God give him this MRI, David, you in bad shape, he says, and he keeps telling him what's wrong with him. He said, boy, he had displeased God. Man, he had depressed his strength and a deadness in his soul. The deadness in his soul. 9 and 10. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and thy groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, and strengthen faileth me. As for the light of my eyes is also gone from me. The deadness of his soul became spiritually blind. Now, here's what happened. It's just like gangrene setting in on somebody's soul, just like their body. Now we find out the deadness of his soul, and we see there in verse 9 and 10, he becomes spiritual blind. It says, verse 10, as for the light of my eyes, it is almost gone from me. See, spiritually blind. He's spiritually blind. Did you know there's a lot of people spiritually blind the day it's saved? They're spiritually blind. They're blind to God's blessings upon them. So many people are blinded, cannot see God's blessings. They just don't see it. They have no time to come and worship. Wouldn't you think that anybody that God saved that have time to come to worship? If they could? If they weren't blind, if they didn't have sin in life to see what God has done for every day, they had strength enough to get out of bed this morning. Who gave that to them? They can't see. They're blind. No time to worship. No time for the local church. No time with God's people. Blind to God's blessings. I like that old song. They have this life. They have the family. You know, they have the jobs. They have money. They have everything. But they have no time. They're blind. If they're saved, they're blinded because of sin in their life. What kind of sin? That's between them and God. That song is saying, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. They can't sing that song. They don't get no blessing out of that song. I have a roof above me, a good place to sleep. I have food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love and a fine family. Bless you, Lord, for your blessings on me. What's wrong with someone is saved and they don't want to do that? They're spiritually blind, like David was. He couldn't even see the blessings of God. When people's eyes is open to the blessing of God, they'll run down to get to go to church. And I said, you know, they get to go. I don't have to go to church. I'm just as good as any of the old people there at Pleasant Hill. Maybe better than some of us at Pleasant Hill, but that ain't got nothing to do with it. And they don't have to go, and you don't have to go. As I said many times, when this door's open, you get to go. And you teachers, you get to teach. And you singers, you get to sing. And you preachers, you get to preach. Any job that you got in this church, if you've got to do it, you need to give it up. Because it's something that God lets you do for His glory. They can't see that. Blind to God's blessings. Because I tell you what, they got sin in their life. Spiritual death in verse 13. Spiritual death. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man that opened not his mouth. Now, David had enemies, and they was out to trap him and kill him. But see, when you're spiritually deaf to the things of God and God's Word and God's Bible and God's people, you're very vulnerable to the danger that's around you. Now, you see, these people that I'm talking about is living in this condition. They are very vulnerable to the dangers around them, and they have enemies also. They are blind to the spiritual blessings. They're deaf to the danger that surrounds them. If the devil can get someone to quit going to church, he's got them just exactly where he wants them. Because they are very, very vulnerable to the danger of the devil. It might take him a while, but he's working on them. He's got them just about where he wants them. And then spiritual dumb, then verse 13 again it says, the dumb man that opens not his mouth. See, he's spiritual dumb. He is spiritual deaf and dumb. He can't see. This is the great man of Israel, the king of Israel. You see, he don't open up his mouth anymore. Now, he used to be David, the sweet singer of Israel. Wrote probably, half or two-thirds of these songs in this hymn book. These are songs. But now he says, I don't sing no more. No more praises comes out of his lip. Did you know what those people that used to come to Pleasant Hill and sing and had good voices? And I ain't got to call those names. But they don't sing no more. They don't come no more. You know why? If they able, same thing David had. That sin in his life, and this is what happened to him. David couldn't sing. They can't sing. They got other things they want to do. They can't sing. Sin shuts their mouth. They used to sing. They used to praise. How about you? You ever give God a good praise once in a while where people can hear? They used to praise. How about a good testimony of what God's done for you this past week, past month, or whatever? How about soul winning from time to time and go out and tell someone about Jesus Christ? You know what we probably need right now at this church? We probably need God to give us a good MRI. Let us see what we really are. But we see the deadness of his soul. And then, next thing, his friends are distant from him. Distant his friends. Verse 11 is what it says in verse 11. My lovers and my friends stands a little far from my sore, and my kinsman stands afar off. See that verse 11, what it says, sore? That's the same word used for leprosy. It's a moral, spiritual leprosy. You know, people didn't want to be a leprosy. Had to get around unclean. You didn't want to get around a leprosy. Well, I'm going to tell you what, they are spiritual leprosy also for a child of God. And I'm going to tell you what, nobody don't want to be around them. You ever been ever somebody as a child of God and you didn't want to be around? Got a bad attitude. Who wants to be around somebody always griping, complaining, making fun and everything else? You know what's wrong? They're backslidden on the Lord. Nobody don't want to be around them because they have this leprosy. Nobody wants to be around them. They're always complaining, always finding problems, always finding faults. People make them that way. Backsliders is most unloving people that you'll ever be around in the church. And sometimes, you know, you can backslide and be here every Sunday. You just talk about one's not here. I might do that myself sometimes. Delights his enemies. How's that in verse 12? He says, well, they also that seeketh after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek to hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceitful all the day long. Man, I tell you what they do. It's like like blood in the water for a shark. Man, they circle him now. He's out there on his own. When you sin out of fellowship and you're away from others, I tell you, there's what they have here is a shark feast. Verse 16 it says, for I said, hear me, lest otherwise should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. Man, they ready to see him fall. Did you know people like to see me and you fall? That would tickle them death, especially for me. Especially for a preacher, a Sunday school teacher, anybody hire you up more than want to see you fall. I'd be tickled to death to see me fall, you fall. Well, they would love that. They just love that. It would just delight Satan. And give Satan a beachhead to work in. But it says, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath in Ephesians 4 and 6. As we hurry along here. Oh, good gracious, if we hurry along here. Y'all give me another minute or two. As we look at the tragedy there of sin in the life of a believer, now look at the remedy of grace that deals with guilt in the life of a saint. Now, there's four steps here to this freedom. And that first step is a sinner, as we talk about ourselves today, as we have sinned, and we need to confess it. We need to have confidence in it. It says there in verse 15, for in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God. Now, you see, he's got confidence now. David knew God would hear him when he prayed, forgive him and cleanse him. Now, I want to tell you something now. He's coming back. As I said, the remedy of sin in the life of a saint, which every one of us needs to understand this. Because David knew, even though he had disappointed God, even though he had broke God's heart and he had disgraced God, but there was nothing would stop God from loving him. David knew that. He had murdered, adultery, lied, cheated, and everything else. But he knew when he got right with God that God would forgive him. Whew, man. That'd make you feel better, don't it? If he done that for David, would he do it for you and me? You better believe he would. And there ain't nothing that we can do to keep him from loving us. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, you said. No height, no depth, no width, nothing can separate us. No guilt that his blood cannot cover. Put that confidence in your heart that when you ask God, he will forgive you. Man, that makes a difference, don't it? And the contrite heart. Without a brokenness, you must come to the end of your sin. And verse 17 and 18, it said, for I am ready to halt. I'm going to stop it right now. When you get ready to stop this, when people get ready to stop sin and go in that direction, he says, I'm ready now to halt it, and my sorrow is continuously before me. 18, it says, for I will declare my iniquity. I will be sorry for my sins. Nobody is never repented until they get sorry for their sins. No repentance without sorrow. 2 Corinthians 7 and 10 says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to the repentance, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." Repentance, because I know that I got to say the same thing about God. What is repentance? I've got confidence in God, and repentance is telling God and confessing to God, "Hey, I see it your way." And 1 John 1 and 9, as we look at that, 1 John 1, "If we confess our sin, it is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, that confess, it don't mean just tell him what you've done. He already knows that. But confessing here is telling him from God's part of it that, "Hey, we have sinned. God, I look at it the way you look at it, this confession is." And that's real confession. We see it how God sees it. And you see what God says about it. And from God's viewpoint. And then sins are clean. In verse 21 and 22, "And I'll be through you. Forsake me not, O God. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me. O Lord, my salvation. And where sin abounds, grace did much more abound." I want to thank you, David, God, for running this MRI on him. And he might be running some MRIs on you tonight. It might be tomorrow. I'm going to tell you, we all need it. God knows about it. But you just remember these, where you put them down or not, because this will work. I tell you, it works in my life. It's going to work in your life. Because this is what happens whenever we sin, have sin between me and God. This is exactly what happened, a tragedy of sin in the life of a saint. But there's also a remedy of sin in the life of a saint. If you do these things, these are very, very interesting things. And you know, you need to look at this Psalmist 38. And you know, sometimes there's have these pictures, you know, they have about 12 or 14 items, you know, that you have to find in these pictures. You know, it might be a haystack and there'll be a needle in it, you cross along, you just look and look and look. They're already there, but you got to find it. Well, here it is in chapter 38. You need to find it. These things is in chapter 38, and they're for your life and for my life. And I'm going to tell you, every one of these is for our help. And for our good. Because we liable to fall. Not, yeah. Yeah. But I just hope God don't never put my life up on the screen. Next time anybody wants to, just let me know. We'll put your life up there. But not mine. I know I run kind of close tonight. Do we have any words of wisdom anybody like to say before we dismiss? Amen. I thank him for mine every day. If not, in the time we have, we'll stand and be dismissed.